Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.roniezone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. And on Sunday night, we recorded First Thoughts. This is our episode where we play the voicemails.
Yes. So, also known as the regular show.
Yes. And this is the show on the night that we started.
Yep. And you are?
My name is Jeff Roni. I'm a Virgo. Born in San Bernardino, 5'10", brown hair, well,
brown eyes,
kind of gray, grayish. This is not going well.
It's not. And you are? Colleen Roni.
Yes.
Libra, 5'3".
Ah. I thought you were 5'2".
No, 5'3". Oh, brown okay. hair,
mm-hmm.
green eyes.
Still brown.
Still brown because I cover up the grays.
Yes.
It's a reddish brown. And yep. Let's see. I was born in Kansas.
All right. Now, don't talk anymore because some people don't like when they talk about personal things. And
well, that's too bad for them. I'm sorry to hear that.
All right. So I want to talk about a couple of things and we'll dive in. Number, are you okay?
I'm okay. I'm just setting up the microphone to make sure it's good.
All right.
So go ahead.
Okay. So, we have a logo contest.
We do indeed.
We need a logo for the show.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, it sounds like there's a tornado blowing through the house.
Nope. Just my windsock. Go ahead.
All right. Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay. She's hiding behind the pop filter. And if you don't know what a pop filter is, you can look that up on Google. This is a weird show already.
I know. Feeling a little sassy. I'm sorry. Okay. But I'm very mellow too. So.
Okay. Don't get so close because I'll
turn
your volume down a little. All right.
Uh-huh. The logo contest.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
The logo
what
contest.
What is it for? Explain what it's for.
We need a logo for our podcast. Now we don't need, I know some folks kind of jumped in and said, no. Podcast art. No, we have that. We have that. It's fine. Shows up on iTunes. Really cool. But what we need is a logo for t-shirts, hats, keychains, tchotchke kinds of things.
So basically swag.
Swag logo, please. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're running a contest. It runs till May 1st. We don't even know what the prize is. So, but the prize for sure is yours will be picked to use, and it will be used however we see fit. But
more than likely,
it's going to be t-shirts and that kind of a thing.
We will acknowledge you, and there will be rejoicing.
Yeah, we may find something, but there's no promise of what it is.
Yeah, we don't know what it's going to be, but it'll be.
So we need that, and you can read more about it on the website. You can go and search for a logo, and you'll find that post, and you can read more about it. But I need it by May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
We'll kind of go through some looking at it and then choose the logo. The second thing is Ustream.
Yes.
We are going to use Ustream for our live show on Saturday.
We are indeed.
We did a quick run through last night.
Mm-hmm.
A little bumpy,
mm-hmm.
but I think we'll be okay. Sound was good. The music was playing. There's a little thing that you can use a set up a poll,
mm-hmm.
a little question, maybe a quiz kind of a thing. Yep. So it was kind of fun and the chat worked.
Mm-hmm.
So please, please, please go to live.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Click there, set up your Ustream account. You cannot chat if you don't have a Ustream account.
Correct.
When you set it up, make sure you write down your little password so you keep it handy. Sometimes gets lost and you don't know what it is.
That is true.
So please keep that handy and use that when you log into the show. Now, what I've done is I have put in the screen that you can hear because it's just going to be audio and the window to do the chat down below. And we're still adjusting the microphone.
Yes, because it's not the right height. It keeps falling. But anyway, okay.
Okay.
Alrighty. Don't worry about it. Keep going. It's okay. All good.
All right. So everyone be there on Saturday night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And I don't want to overstate it, but I just want to say you never, ever know what's going to happen.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, any of these shows, you never know what's going to happen. We could play a voicemail right now that would just blow people's doors off.
That's true.
Or maybe we're doing a live show on Saturday. I could get a message and we could bring up the phone call from anybody. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Did you know that the Mickey Mouse Club back in the 50s had days of the week and Wednesday was anything can happen Wednesday?
Okay.
This feels like anything can happen
Saturday.
OUAT podcast.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. So that's it. I don't think there was anything else. We're going to be facing some hiatus time.
We are indeed. A couple weeks.
So it all depends if we kind of have a dip in voicemails, and we probably will,
mm-hmm.
and emails.
Mm-hmm.
We may just kind of go to one show on Saturday.
Yep.
So, but it, like I said, it all depends. And there's a lot of really exciting things that are happening right now. A lot of cross promoting, and we're doing some help in other events and things like that. So it's going to be a lot of really interesting things
mm-hmm.
coming up. I think that's it.
Yeah, I think so too, for housekeeping stuff.
Yes.
So on with the show.
On with the show. And here is our first voicemail.
Dum-da-da-dum.
Hey, guys. It's Janelle from Dayton. I'll try to make this fast so I don't get cut off and only call once. I do want to say that I don't have a computer. I'm just following you guys what I can on my phone. And with my Facebook addiction, if my husband found out I had a Twitter, I'd be dead. So I did post in the forum today, just a while ago, about Ohio Wancers, and I posted in the forum of Twin Mom X2. Twin Mom times two, I do have the two sets of twins. I have an identical set that are 19 and a fraternal set that are 8, and they're all boys. My house is filled with men, hence why I like my fairy tale. So I just want to get that out there, so if anybody else in the area, that would include the surrounding states, Michigan. Oh, I said a backyard in my house. Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, anything like that, and everybody's welcome on it. And I will say I've seen a couple sneak peeks, and I've read a couple articles, and I think the rest of the season is going to be kick butt. And Stable Boy, I think we may get an answer to a question that we've all been kind of thinking about since the beginning. Because I kind of got a glimpse of it, a sneak peek, and it was a big, oh, my God, pause moment I'm looking at the screen. So that's all I'm going to say about it. So I'm not going to tell you what it is because, Colleen, I know you're not big on the whole spoilers thing. Just say it, look forward to this episode. That's really about it. Just keep up what you're doing. I will be listening Saturday, although I won't be in the chat because of the whole listening on my phone thing. So I will be locked away in my bedroom listening to this while my husband and brother-in-law are watching the Ohio State-Kentucky Final Four game. So I hope you guys have a great weekend, and I will hear you guys on Saturday. Bye.
I like Janelle.
Yeah.
I like Janelle a lot. She has a sense of humor.
She does.
And she's real. She knows she has a Facebook addiction.
Yes.
House full of men. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Woo-wee. My sister has 4 boys, and so I can imagine. She has a daughter as well, so she's got one more kid than you've got, Janelle. But, yeah, that's a lot of kids, a lot of boys.
So we'll send a little princess energy your way, you know, so you can feed on that a little bit. Give you a little estrogen and hopefully that'll balance it out.
Yes. And she's right. I don't like spoilers.
That's true.
And you know why? Do you want to know why? I'm going to tell you why, because I think people don't understand why. And I know there's some people who really just they don't think it's that big of a deal. The way I look at it is, if I told you what I was buying you for Christmas, would you be okay with that? It would kind of ruin Christmas Day, wouldn't it? Because you know you're getting presents on Christmas Day, right?
Okay.
So, but I like to open them and be surprised and not know what they are in advance, because then it just ruins the magic.
I get it.
So that's my rationale.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
Cool.
So, yeah. Thank you,
Anyway, Janelle. Anyway, go. If you're around the area there, connect with Janelle on the forum, and there's a link on the front of the site to go to the forum there. And so, yeah, connect, say hi, how do you do? I know there's a lot of moms.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of single moms out there.
Yep.
And I want to just give big love and big ups to single moms, because I was raised by a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I understand how tough it is. So, you know, just, I love the listener family.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't like me getting all personal and talking about this, but I do. It's made up of so many different types of people.
It is.
And it's great. It's really great. And it's great that, you know, we have people representing the Charmers, you know, people representing the Dearies, people representing the Evil Regals. We got all kinds coming together.
Team seven.
And it's really great that we can all just kind of gather around, listen up, enjoy the show, you know, and have a good time. So anyway, say hey to Janelle. It is kind of tough, man. 2 sets of twins.
Mm-hmm. And with big age gaps too.
That's,
it's a lot.
Yeah. So we're Janelle fans, so.
We are.
Thanks. Thank you for being a part of what we're doing here and listening in. And hopefully with Ustream, you'll get to chat too.
Yeah. So,
anyway. All right. Here is the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. My name is Karen. I'm known as MarvelGirl83 on Twitter and on your forum as Belle for Rumple. I just wanted to call in about the episode last night, Stable Boy. It was probably one of the best episodes, but I'll say that until we'll see the next episode, and then that will be the best. Bailey Madison was amazing as Little Snow. They did perfect casting. She had the same mannerism. She spoke the same as Jennifer Goodwin. I think they did an amazing job, and I can't wait to see her maybe next season. So just 2 small quick things about August and the theories we have about August. He had some trouble by the toll bridge. If you see, he was kind of stumbling. And I want to say maybe that's not because they were close to the storybook border, but that he is made of wood, and so maybe he has more trouble walking, and that's the Pinocchio theory. And the theory also goes with the line he said last night, if you knew anything about me, I am not a liar. So that kind of leads me towards the Pinocchio theory. The second theory about him was in the trailer for next week. He was holding the dagger. So that kind of leads me to believe maybe the Rumpel's son theory, but we'll never know, probably till April 22nd or further. And just one last thing, the cliffhanger for April 22nd was amazing. And they probably could have even finished the season with that. I mean, that was a really big head turner, you know, like, oh my gosh, she's back. So that'll be really interesting to see whose heart it was. So thanks, guys, and I'll talk to y'all on the forum. Bye.
Great call, Karen. Thanks, Karen. Thank you so much. Excellent. So let's see.
What?
There's a couple of things.
Well, the first thing she talked about was the Pinocchio.
Yep.
The wood part. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I agree with you. I still hold at the theory, no matter what anybody says, I still hold until they tell me otherwise on this show, he's Pinocchio. But I don't believe he's just Pinocchio. I agree. I think he's a combination of Pinocchio and someone else. Now, I've had a few theories thrown at me that are kind of logical, and one of them is that he could be a writer, as in one of the Grimm brothers, or he could possibly be L. Frank Baum, who wrote The Wizard of Oz. So I kind of like those theories. He could also be Prince Philip from Sleeping Beauty, because he's supposed to help Emma see the light, wake her up. So that's another one. Mm-hmm. Who knows what they're going to combine him. I just don't think he's Pinocchio by himself. But I do definitely believe he is Pinocchio, period.
Yep.
So, great theory on that one. And the fact that he was holding the dagger, I didn't see that it was him holding the dagger, but then I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to it. I was still in shock by the whole Catherine thing at the end, too. Like you said, that was a great cliffhanger. Would have been an awesome cliffhanger to end the season just right there. Would have just probably frustrated the heck out of all of us.
Yeah.
But it would have been a great cliffhanger. So if that's a good cliffhanger, can you imagine what they're going to do for the finale?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. I agree with her. Sorry. I agree. Every week I keep saying, oh my gosh, that was the best. That was so great. That was so great. I still have my favorites, but I did really enjoy Stable Boy a lot. I thought it was a fantastic episode, and Bailey Madison was perfect cast. She was a perfect casting choice for young Snow.
We had an email about this, and
mm-hmm.
someone was very astute, and they kind of went through the different discussion points. Like, I remember early on when Graham was running out in the forest and he said, this is my domain.
Yes.
And we started talking about, is he the big bad wolf? Is he the huntsman? And that, and then we're here again.
Right.
And it's happened a number of times with certain characters. Dr. Whale.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it's like I've said before, the writers are extremely astute and understand that a lot of these fairy tales have overlapped in some of their details. So things that these characters say could lead you down one of several paths. When in fact, at the next episode or a couple of episodes later, they narrow the playing field and you're like, okay, well, I had 15 choices before. Now I only have 10. And then they narrow it again down to 5. And then they eventually reveal what it is you're looking for. And so I think that's what we're dealing with right now, is they've started really broad and it could have been a number of things. And now all of a sudden it's narrowed the playing field just a little bit more. So we shall see what we shall see.
And here is the next voicemail.
Sweet.
Hey guys, this is Mason, your favorite Once Upon a Time fan. And I just came up with some new theories. First off, I was watching the Magic Mirror episode, and then I remembered that there was a Bugs Bunny cartoon called Broomstick Bunny, and at the end of the cartoon, there's a scene where the witch accidentally drinks a beautiful potion, and she asks the mirror who's the beautiful or ugliest of them all. And the genie sees the magic mirror sees the new look that the witch has, and he just flies off out of his mirror on a magic carpet. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So this is the first time we've seen that the genie being the magic mirror in live action form. It's the first time we've seen that portrayed in live action. a theory that I had on Cora, and that's the queen's mother, Cora, is that when they mentioned that she came from the miller's daughter, she grew up as a miller, automatically I thought Rumpelstiltskin. But I decided to expand on that, and I think that's what the writers did. What I was thinking was that since she was able to keep Regina, and or maybe some, you know, she said that she struck a deal. Cora said that she struck multiple deals, obviously with Rumpel. So my guess is that either the day after she guessed Rumpel's name, she felt a little disapproved by the king's the king from Rumpel from the tale, Rumpelstiltskin. I'm guessing his realm sort of disapproved Cora when she came clean about not being able to spin the strong to gold. So even though the king was okay with it, I'm guessing she felt disapproved by the kingdom too. And my guess is that maybe maybe a few months or so she struck a deal with or maybe on the day she met Rumpel, or met Rumpel, that if Rumpel spun the straw and gave up her newborn, you know, she would have.
Okay. He calls back. Do we want to kind of revisit it for him? Because there's a couple of parts of this Rumpelstiltskin story.
Okay. So what I think I understood him saying is that he was saying that Cora is the miller's daughter. And right. We know that because mm-hmm. she said her father was a miller.
Right.
But what he's thinking is that she didn't end up giving up her child because she has Regina. And so he's thinking that the king who she was supposed to marry, he was fine with her, even though she probably came clean and said she didn't spin the straw into gold, that it was Rumpel who did it for her. The king was probably okay with her, but he's concerned that he's thinking that the kingdom, the loyal subjects of whatever king she was supposed to marry, didn't approve of her, and that's why she struck deals and left or did what she did. Hmm. That's what I okay. think I understood what he was saying.
Okay.
Now here's a little wrinkle to throw in there for you. She has Regina, but is Regina her firstborn?
Okay.
We're assuming, but we don't know. What if Regina has a sibling who's older than she is?
Yeah.
Who is the one that was given to Rumpelstiltskin? What if Balefire is her sibling?
Yeah. Possible.
Just throwing that out.
Possible,
there.
Possible.
So.
And I was just thinking of this too, is I wonder if, let's just have fun just for a second.
Okay.
So when Regina becomes queen, let's say that that is just one of the stories of the story of the deals where mm-hmm. you start out in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to make deals and trade up, right?
Mm-hmm,
get
mm-hmm.
out of poverty.
Right.
And I wonder if you could, in this weird universe that I'm talking about, undo all those and go back. Hmm. Once you've achieved what you've wanted to achieve, that you really have striven for.
Mm-hmm.
And normally it's a prince, a queen, a king, some one of power in sure. a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my question is, why wasn't it Cora? You understand?
Because Cora's already married to Regina's dad.
Okay. But I'm just saying that there's one person in a family where they say, okay, that's the one. You know, and even now, it could be a son or a daughter, a son who wants to play baseball, whatever, or a daughter who wants to whatever. There's always this kind of a thing. And so it's just all these different deals, and Regina becomes queen. I wonder.
Because look at her. She's beautiful.
Absolutely.
She's young.
Sure.
And maybe on some level, King Leopold, Snow's father, wanted to have another child.
Right.
And thought that with Regina, that was possible. Whereas with her mother, not so much.
Okay. But, okay, I guess what I'm saying is I wonder when they've achieved whatever that they kind of look back at all the different things. And maybe Regina, I don't know if she knew all of the deals that her mother made so that she could be set up to become queen.
Yeah, we have no idea. We have no idea. So. She may not know at all.
Yeah. All right. Here is the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, Pauline and Jeff. This is Mason again. Totally forgot about the voicemail cutting me off. As I was saying, I believe that Cora is the Miller's daughter of the tale, Rumpelstiltskin. And my guess is the way that she obtained the powers was that either on the day that she met Rumpel, or maybe a few months after the Rumpel tale, she struck a deal with Rumpel that if she spun the straw to gold, or if he spun the straw, Cora gives up Regina. But if Cora guessed his name, she would obtain not only her daughter, but she would also gain some magic to make her, in her opinion, make her life and her daughter's life and her husband, King Henry, I guess it would make their lives better if she had magic. But if Regina was born through what, if Regina was the king or was the king's daughter, then Cora shouldn't worry about her daughter's status unless Cora decided to leave her husband or decided to leave the king of the Rumpelstiltskin tale. I thought it was a pretty good episode. I'm still not sure about how Henry Sr. played in the tale, because if she's the Miller's daughter, then my guess is that Henry is Cora's father. But again, it's just a theory. I mean, I know it's been said that Henry Sr. is Regina's dad, but I have this feeling of a grandfather quality, and that's probably because we see him a little older in the Magic Mirror episode and in the second episode. So, and again, he's elderly in the Hat Trick too. So again, that's just my theory. Hope you guys have a good day, and I can't wait for 2 weeks. It needs to come now. you don't just do that. You don't just stop on a really good high note. But it's the Easter, so have a good Easter weekend.
Thank you so much, Mason.
Okay, so to follow along with what I think he's saying too is that Cora being the Miller's daughter, if you follow along that fairy tale, she would have married the king, a king, and would have been married to him, and she would have been promised to him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what I'm wondering is if Henry's not a king, as far as I'm aware, right? Henry is not a king.
Right.
Regina's father, right. Henry, is not a king. He's just a guy.
Otherwise, I don't think Cora would work so hard.
No, she wouldn't have.
To get Regina to.
And what I'm thinking is that if, in fact, we follow the Miller's daughter story, or the Rumpelstiltskin story, to the letter here, Cora would have been promised the king, but what if she struck a deal with Rumpelstiltskin and said, but I don't want to marry him. I want to marry Henry instead. Because when she was younger, and yeah, he looks a little older, but I don't think he looked grandfatherly.
Well, sort of, yeah. In The Thing You Love Most.
He did, but yeah, here's the thing. Right. Think through. Regina in this episode in Stable Boy is what, all of 18?
Right. Mm-hmm.
In That Thing You Love Most, sure, she's in her mid to late 30s.
Time
has passed. Mm-hmm. And Henry was older when I think, you know, he would have been in his probably mid to late 40s, probably is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Early 50s for Stable Boy.
Sure.
So you add on another 20 years, and yeah, it's going to make him really old, appear a little bit older than he is. But what I'm saying is I think that perhaps Cora made a deal with Rumpel that she didn't, if she did something, she did not have to marry the king, and she instead married Henry, and that's how she got Regina.
Okay. So I want to go,
I don't know.
I want to go off on a bit of a tangent. I did some looking in some screenshots, and I saw that the fairy godmother had gold, magical dust around her. But then there's a lot of pink gold, either smoke or dust. When she makes the monocle or whatever looking glass appear, it's like a pink thing.
Okay.
And so we know that Rumpelstiltskin asked King George for the patron fairy of the family, where it was.
Where she was, yeah.
And it was also very interesting that he also kind of did kind of a written GPS of where the queen was going to be and then where Snow was going to be to Prince Charming. Mm-hmm. So location is very important.
Yeah.
So this pink, you know, I guess what I keep coming back to is when he unrolled these scrolls, there was this kind of pink dust that kind of flew off.
Yes.
Every time he did it. And either he stole the dust from the fairies.
He stole it from the fairies, yes.
Or maybe that was from the wand that he owned or had. I'm just kind of where would this pink little kind of dust come from? You know what I mean? And if the color is the same, what?
I love you.
What?
But you are the only person I know who watches this show that cares what color the smoke is when things appear and disappear and move and transport and what have you. Sir, I don't think I've seen anybody post so much discussion about the smoke, the color of the smoke. He's got magic. Well,
I think it's Nova dust. Nova pixie fairy dust.
Okay.
Anyways. Well,
maybe it is.
Okay.
But I still think he's got the magical power somehow. So he got them from somewhere. That would be the knife when he killed the dark one.
All right. Well, let me finish.
Is
that when... Okay. So when Cora used magic to grab and lift up Regina and restrain her, it was the same as when Rumpelstiltskin signed with that quill and he was floating above
the
and
blue aura
restrained.
Stuff,
right.
Where he wasn't floating anywhere. He was just frozen in space, place.
And it looked similar to me of the orb when the dark one was holding it. So I'm seeing...
Right. Because there is dark magic and there is fairy magic.
Okay. All
That's right. typical of fairy tales.
We'll play the next voicemail.
Okay.
We shall not
Thanks,
talk
Mason,
about
by
color.
The way.
Yeah, thank you, Mason. We shall not talk about color.
Well, you're welcome to talk about it. I just think it's very cute and adorable and funny because I don't know anybody who cares more about the smoke than you do.
I do. And if I could have got up in line and asked them at WonderCon, they would have said, now that is a smart Wancer fan right there. He knows. He's been I would imagine they looked down. You're the guy. You're the Roni guy with the smoke color. What? Let me shake your hand. Hold on. Let me come down there and shake your hand. Oh. You're the weirdest but the smartest fan we've ever known.
You have the funniest imagination.
See?
You too.
All right, here we...
Sorry.
Don't... You okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Gonna play this voicemail now.
Okay.
Hello, Jeff and Colleen. This is Dave, longtime listener. I had a theory about the stranger being Pinocchio. I think the reason that he has memories or some certain understanding of it all is that he is Pinocchio. And Pinocchio was made from the same wood that saved Emma. The reason that the wood was special is that it preserved her from all the curse. And I think that same wood saved Pinocchio, who is the stranger. Go ahead. Discuss. Bye.
Thanks, Dave. And that is a brilliant theory. And I know for one, Colleen totally agrees.
Mm-hmm. I do. I think that he's Pinocchio. I think he was made from the same tree. And I think he either somehow was touching the tree when it transported Emma, or he was hidden inside. I know somebody said, but it only can hold one. A baby is not one full person. I understand. I just still think that he somehow managed to be saved from all the curse as well because of the fact that he was either made from the tree and or he somehow hid inside the tree or was touching it when it moved.
Anyway. Excellent theory, Dave. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks, Dave.
Thank you for being a longtime listener. We love those.
We do.
And then and the new listeners, too.
We do, too. Yeah.
Brand new. Okay, here is another voicemail.
Hello, Jeff and Colleen. This is Larry. Just started listening to the podcast. Great job, guys. Did want to point out a couple things from Stable Boy and a general comment. On Stable Boy, I definitely noticed that right after Cora had yanked the heart out of Daniel, that she's having a chat with Regina and gets up close in her face, and all of a sudden Regina gets that, oh my God, someone's hand is in my chest look, and then it fades to commercial. So I think Cora plucked her heart out, just like Regina did on The Huntsman. They stayed alive, so they apparently don't need their heart to live. And I'm thinking that's why in the next time we see Regina, she's cold and heartless to Snow. So I think it was a combination of Snow telling on her and that she got her heart plucked out that made her turn evil. The more general comment, I think Rumpel's behind this whole thing. In Desperate Souls, we see that he wants to get Zoso's power, the Dark One's power, so he can do good things, but apparently it turns him evil that scares away his son. I think from then on, he's trying to do things to get rid of the magic without being stabbed, and that's why he invents the Dark Curse, the curse to end all curses. And obviously he can't enact it because he can't put Balefire's heart in the thing he loves the most. So he tricks the evil queen into enacting it. And he's the innocent bystander of all this. And now I think he does foretell the future as some of the previous early podcasts were talking about. I don't think he time travels. I think he foresees the future. And I was wrapping my arms around this theory. But I couldn't figure out why he'd want Emma to break the curse. That's the favor. The favor she owes him is that when she's breaking the curse, that he gets to stay behind in Storybrooke where there's no magic. And maybe that'll be with Belle. Okay, that's it. Talk to you guys later. Great show.
Thanks, Larry.
Wow.
Yeah, that's... You saved that's the just, best for the end. I was like,
that's just boom. Like a diamond. Yeah, that's a nice little diamond right there. I do find that really very, very plausible that he could have enacted he could have created the curse to end it because clearly he doesn't like what it did to him. He didn't want that to happen to anybody else. He wants to be able to do it, use enough magic to get his son back, and that's about the extent of it. And then, wow.
It's solid. That's a solid theory, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
That is, wow. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Love it.
Now, we have watched Stable Boy at least twice.
Yes.
And I didn't see Cora take out Regina's heart.
No, and I think what he said was she had that look on her face.
Right.
And then they faded. So actually, even that part to me, even though we didn't see her take her heart out, that's pretty solid. Because again, if she did take her heart out, right? That's right. How Regina would know to do that to the huntsman.
Right.
So, because Cora did take out Daniel's heart and crushed it right then and there, and that's right. What made him die.
True.
So if she took Regina's heart out and made her kind of cold and heartless, that actually kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and
that's a piece we didn't see, but wow. Right.
So that would, let me talk about two things, and then we'll come right back to this. Is I think based on what we're discussing here, that we may possibly have not seen two very important things that we may see later.
Yes.
Is perhaps we didn't see Cora taking out Regina's heart. Perhaps. Mm-hmm. We're laying that on the perhaps shelf.
Yep.
I was also kind of mystified. And when you watch TV or films a lot, you kind of expect certain things. And when Emma went to go see August.
Yes.
And they were talking. I expected August to do one of two things. Kiss Emma.
Mm-hmm.
Or once he shut the door, to get this reveal of maybe a wooden leg or a picture of Rumpel and Bale. You know what I mean? I expected something to be revealed after she walked away. But we didn't get that.
No, we didn't.
So, anyway. But.
Well, you know what else I kind of almost am anticipating we're going to see potentially down the road? Because it makes sense. Snow was so innocent and sweet in this episode. And she just innocently told Cora.
Right.
Or did she? Did she plan that?
Hmm.
Did she know that if she just wiggled enough, if she acted just in the right way, that she would be able to spill the beans and kind of blame it on Cora?
Well,
you know what I mean? And say in all innocence, no, I thought she would help you.
In her defense.
I'm not saying she's a bad girl. Well, I'm not at all. But I'm just saying I, based on some of the stuff I've heard and some of the comments Ginny's made, I wouldn't put it past her to have done it on purpose.
Okay.
And she wanted possibly, a mother. And she loved Regina.
Right. And those are strong.
Yeah.
When I was watching Cora tonight really close,
mm-hmm.
it seemed like she was looking for that.
Mm-hmm.
Asking questions.
She knew.
And kind of leaning in on the emotional side of Snow. Like, all I want is my best for my daughter. If you knew of what was happening, you would help me, right? You know, that kind of an idea.
Uh-huh. So, exactly. I think Cora played her because I think she must have either seen something or sensed in Snow a secret. Because Snow was not very sly about hiding. I mean, right. She was to a certain extent, but you could tell. I mean, you can look. I see my 14-year-old niece. She'll say something and I'm like, she's hiding something. I can tell. Yeah. I can tell when she is because I know how she's acting. So I kind of suspect that maybe Cora knew and decided, okay, there's a secret here. I'm going to get it out. And she did.
Well, and the only really strong evidence I have is that she didn't walk up to that barn. She appeared there.
Out of nowhere.
And then she appeared inside the doorway.
Yep.
So we have little popping tricks here and there. There's the word again.
Yep.
And like Rumpelstiltskin did.
Yep.
And people say, well, what do you mean? What do you mean he appeared in the boat.
He appeared out of nowhere.
When Snow was going to get that potion from him.
Yep.
So the same type of appearing and moving without walking. So anyhow.
Yes.
All right. Here is the next voicemail.
Yay.
Hey, guys. This is Dave from Michigan calling in to talk about this episode and then a general theory. I've only watched it once, so I don't have a whole lot of minor, catch up to the little things. But I really loved this episode. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it told us a lot. However, I do have one major theory that I got from this that I wanted to see how you guys, what you thought of it, but it's kind of involved. So first of all, we learned that Cora, that's the name of Regina's mom, is the Miller's daughter, not Regina. All right? And one of the things she says in this is, you don't know what I've done, or something along those lines, to get to us, to where we are. Well, it makes me think that the original story of Rumpelstiltskin is true. That he took her firstborn when he found out what happened. And, or the theory that we had originally. But I think that the firstborn wasn't a boy. I think it was a girl. And I think that Rumpel took her, and she grew up, well, he didn't grow up, and banished her to be the Queen of Hearts. And that somehow she knows who she is, but Regina doesn't. And so that's why the Queen of Hearts has always had it out for Regina. But Regina didn't understand why. That's why she took the dad. I'm not sure where else to go with this, but I think that it could very possibly have been the reason behind it. I think that we may learn that in the near future. So, I was wondering what your thoughts were on that. Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Dave. And, I've said from almost the beginning that I heard little rumblings, when people said that Regina, the Queen of Hearts, is Regina's mother. I'm not inclined to think that that's the case. I know we didn't see her face, but I do think that there's some sort of connection between the two. And having that be her sister, that makes perfect sense to me. And having that be the firstborn, sure, why not? I could go with that. And then, you know, having the revenge because she ended up banished to Wonderland, which is a crazy place. Who knows?
I did want to point this out. We don't really talk about the titles too much, but no. Stable Boy is obviously a boy that takes care of the horses and whatever, but it's also even.
Yes.
Tempered.
Yes.
Stable Boy.
Yes.
So
the funny thing is, it's really weird that you had mentioned that. I was thinking that right before we jumped on the show, because I started thinking Snow Falls, that was right, actually right. Double Entendre. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these titles do have double entendres.
Yeah.
Well, actually, double entendre is not the right word. They do have double meanings, though.
Sure. And here is the next voicemail.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. It's Karen. I have a couple thoughts this week. One thought is how Regina got her mom's magic power. And I think that the best way to answer that is the same way Rumpelstiltskin became the Dark One he killed for it. Wouldn't be surprised if we find out later that Regina killed her mom. My second idea, actually it's more of a complaint. And I'm thinking of UK royalty and, you know, fairy tale world obviously operates differently, but still it's a complaint. If a king marries somebody, she doesn't necessarily become queen, but his offspring does take the throne later. So the fact that Regina married the king doesn't necessarily make her queen, but it does make Snow Queen at some point. Anyway, my ideas for the day. Have a good one. Bye.
Wow. Thanks, Karen.
Yes, I agree with you. I think we're going to find somewhere down the road Regina is going to end up killing her mama.
I didn't think her mom would make it out of the episode.
I didn't either. Honest to God, I thought she was going to kill her right then and there.
I tell you what, after when Regina said, I better change out of this dress. I don't want to mess it up before the ceremony. I thought that she was going to change and then we were going to see something. I was pretty certain, but
I kind of thought she was going to turn around and try and take her heart out when she said, "I'm proud of you." And she turned around and she stopped and she looked at her funny. That's when she was asking about the horse. I thought for sure at that point in time, she was going to knock her mom's block off, but she did not do that.
That was actually a great moment when her mom said, "I'm proud of you." And just to watch Regina's face.
Oh,
that was really a great moment in all the times. All the years, all the struggle, all the arguing, all that, it came down to, now I'm proud of you. So
yeah, Lana just knocked it out of the park with that one. The facial expressions were just unbelievable. She did a great, great job. She really did.
No, she's a seasoned pro, and mm-hmm. she's playing so many different levels, so many different layers, and It was very interesting that the voice that she used at the end when she said, "I should have let her die on that horse," that was the Evil Queen that we're used to.
Oh, very much so.
But almost the entire episode, it was this kind of tempered, more subdued,
soft, sweet
Regina voice. / mm-hmm. Evil Queen. And then we get to the end and we say, now that we've heard that before.
Yes.
And so,
very much so.
We saw the becoming. So
yeah.
So do you have any idea about the whole, if a woman marries the king, they're not queen automatically? I mean,
yeah, I can verify that only because we have that situation right now on the current throne in England. Queen Elizabeth was queen because she inherited the throne from her father, who was the king.
Okay.
Philip, who is her husband, is Prince Philip. He's not King Philip. He's Prince Philip. Mm-hmm. He did not inherit the title king. Her son Charles will be king when she is deceased or gives up the throne. So yes, that is true. In fairy tale world, I know, yeah, I agree with her. It operates a little differently. And so, yeah, technically Regina, if we were following real rules of real royalty, at least in England, I can't speak for any other country because I do not know. But in any other, in England for sure, you don't just necessarily inherit the title. You have to, it's a little different.
Okay. So we've got two more.
And the funny thing is, I think it's actually reversed. If the king does marry, he would actually have a queen. I'd have to check that. I do not know for certain. But I do want to say that if, in fact, that is the case, because Regina's... Not Regina. Well, technically. Queen Elizabeth's mother was called the Queen Mother.
Okay.
And she was not the one who... She wasn't the royalty. It was her husband, the king. He was the king. He inherited the king, the throne from his father.
Yeah.
But she was referred to as the Queen Mother. So I think it does happen if the king marries a woman. But it does not happen if the queen marries a gentleman. He becomes just a prince.
Wow.
But again, I need to verify that. I should ask my former roommate who is British.
Yeah.
She would know.
So we have two more voicemails. Okay. And this is from Malini.
Hey Jeff, hey Colleen, it's Malini from Texas. I just wanted to send a voicemail because I wanted to share some stuff that I noticed from the last episode. The first thing I wanted to share was the first scene when Mr. Gold went to Regina's office, and when he came in, he said to Regina, "Remembrance of things past." And we saw that Regina was holding the ring that Daniel gave her. So obviously Mr. Gold was referring to that ring, but when he said that line, it stood out to me and I was thinking, what are Remembrance of things past in Storybrook? When Mr. Gold said remembrance of things past, I think, in my opinion, means fairy tale land past. And so I was thinking, what are these things that were from fairy tale land that are now in Storybrook? I thought of Mary Margaret's ring, Emma's baby blanket, the unicorn mobile, and mostly everything in Mr. Gold's shop. So I think that it was a hint on how the curse would be broken. We know that Emma is the savior, and yes, she will break the curse. But I do believe that these things of remembrance past will definitely play a big part in breaking the curse. So yeah, that's what I think. The second thing I wanted to talk about was the anger that Regina has for Snow. And In my last email on the live show, I said I don't think it's justified because Snow White is a child. And now, after watching this episode, I am still set on that thought that, yeah, it really isn't justified. When you watch the episode, you can really see that Snow White did what she did because she wanted Regina to be happy. She knew that Regina would never be happy with her dad, and Regina was happy with Daniel, and she just wanted the best for Regina, and she unwillingly told Cora everything because Cora tricked her. She didn't blab and say to Cora, you know, Regina has a boyfriend and she's never going to marry my dad. She didn't say it that way. She was actually not even going to say it, but Cora tricked her into saying the things that she did. So I really think it was misplaced anger on Regina's part. But when I look at it again, and I watched the episode a couple of times after that, and I still believe it's not right that she had that much anger towards Snow, but I do see the side of Regina after watching it a couple of times. She loved Daniel. Regina loved Daniel with everything that she was. And Daniel's death broke her. Daniel's death ruined her in a way that she could never be fixed. When Cora ripped out Daniel's heart and crushed it, figuratively speaking, that's what happened to Regina. Her heart was ripped out and crushed as well. And that's why she has all that evil within her, is because all the love from her heart was taken away. And I can compare that to Snow White. When Snow White drank the potion, Snow White lost all the love in her heart. She became irrational. She became rude. She became inconsiderate. But then Snow White shared the kiss with Prince Charming, and that fixed her. But Regina, because Daniel's dead and he will never come back, she's beyond fixing. Her heart is beyond repair. So that's why love will never come back into her heart, because there's no way that it will, because Daniel is never coming back. So I guess that's what the episode or that scene was meant to show us, is how Regina became evil and how her heart can never be fixed, because Daniel will never come back. So that's what I think about that scene. For another thing I wanted to point out was King George. I honestly thought he died when James saved Snow in the pilot episode, and when they got married. I never saw King George at the wedding, and War Council, when they were planning the battle against Regina in the pilot episode as well, I didn't see King George. So I assumed that because David looked like he was the king, or, you know, like he was the ruler of the land, I assumed that King George had died or James killed him in a battle or something. But he was in Storybrooke, so I guess he's alive in Fairytale Land because he was cursed. So we'll have to find out. We have to wait and see where he is exactly in Fairytale Land, because I honestly thought he died. That's the one I wanted to share. The last thing was the conversation between Emma and Mr. Gold at the end, when Mary Margaret was escorted with handcuffs. Jennifer Morrison, or Emma, said to Mr. Gold, "I thought, you know, you were going to fix this. I hired you and I asked you for help because I thought you were going to be able to fix this." And Mr. Gold said, "Don't lose faith. I haven't still worked my magic." And I was thinking that, okay, I'll be honest. I love spoilers. I really do. And I've known for quite some time that Catherine was alive. I think it was mid-February when they released filming pictures, and I saw those pictures and I knew that she was alive. So it was a question of when was she going to show up in the episode. So when Mr. Gold said, "I haven't worked my magic yet," I automatically assumed that he meant he was going to release Catherine so that Emma could find her and Emma could go and prove Mary Margaret's innocence. And that was a genius plan. If that was really the plan and that's what happened, that was a genius plan, because it would not make Regina suspect anything. In fact, it would make Regina doubt herself, because she thought all along that she killed Catherine. She thought Catherine left Storybrooke. Bad things happen when you leave Storybrooke, and Catherine died. So now it's going to go back to Regina that she didn't execute her plan correctly or properly. And so it's going to be on her. "Oh, I thought I killed Catherine. Maybe I did." So there will be no pointing fingers to someone else except herself, because it was her job to kill Catherine. So yeah, so that's kind of, I think, what Mr. Gold wanted to happen. So that's it. There's no Once Upon a Time for 2 weeks and I'm 2 Sundays and I think I'm going to go crazy if I don't do a marathon. So I'm probably going to do a marathon and probably look at other episodes and see, since we have many more episodes now, those other episodes probably will have some similarities and lines are the same and other objects that I'll be looking out for since I've seen more episodes now. So I'm going to be taking notes and looking closely. So yeah, so that's it. I wanted to say thank you for everything you do and I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Thanks, Malini.
Thank you, Malini. So yeah, you know what's interesting is that having watched this episode again, I did feel at first, when I first saw it, that she had misplaced anger towards Snow. And it's very possible that maybe that's the case. Maybe Snow really was very innocent in all of this. But I started to kind of think, what if Snow really did plan to tell it? Because again, she wanted Regina to be happy, but what she wanted even more was she wanted a mother, because she kept emphasizing that. That was a big thing for her. She lost her mother, she lost her mother, she lost her mother. And so the fact that she did, and that Regina could be her mother, and she really loved Regina, I think that was where she kind of made arrangements to make the beans kind of get spilled. Even though, yes, Cora tricked her into talking about it, I don't think it was a big trick. I think it was very well planned. That's just me. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see, because I think there's got to be another episode where we're going to see something to that effect. There was a couple of other things in there.
It was Catherine.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
I didn't know whether Catherine would come back, because again, when they say things, you kind of have to say, okay, so they said this, so therefore she's got to be dead. Well, the fact is that we know that the writers do that to us. So now I'm hesitant to believe anything they say. When they said that it was this is the thing that has driven me nuts the whole entire time since the heart was found in a box. The first thing that came into my head was, great, you found the heart. Where's the body? Mm-hmm. And what killed me the entire last couple of episodes is nobody was looking for a body. They just took it at face value that the heart matched, the DNA for the heart matched Catherine's, and therefore Catherine was dead. And I kept saying, but where's her body? Why are we not finding her body? When's her body going to turn up? And sure enough, her body turned up, and she's still in it, so... That was quite an episode, quite an ending to that episode. What was the other thing? Did you have anything else you wanted to add about that?
Well, I think it was interesting if, in fact, Catherine was either in a cell underground next to Belle.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That it was almost like she was called up twice to the big league. Because I still think that Regina conjured her, called her forward, whatever she did, to keep Mary Margaret and David apart.
Mm-hmm.
And now on the other side, she was called to redeem, to get Mary Margaret off of, you know, that she killed her.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting, the two different reasons.
She looks pretty bedraggled. So what right. I'm wondering is if she didn't stumble into the woods and somehow she got basically held prisoner in, let's say, maybe the cabin. Because nobody's been back to the cabin in a while, right? It's an abandoned cabin. So maybe she got held captive in that cabin. She was locked in there. And Mr. Gold had her there on purpose to throw Regina off, because he's playing Regina like a freaking fiddle.
Yep.
And so I think he might have kept Catherine there, knowing all along what was going to happen. And I think he did it so he could get out of his deal with Regina. Do you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. she said it in the preview for the next episode. You broke our deal. Really?
Right.
So, interestingly enough, and then when knowing that Mary Margaret made the blunder of playing right into the hands of the district attorney by saying, yeah, I killed her and I got rid of her because I wanted her gone. Is that what you want me to say? Oops. That was kind of dumb. I think that Rumpel knew at that point in time, okay, I got to let the cat out of the bag. So that's why I think he let her out of the cabin and he placed her there.
So let's talk about King George a little bit.
Okay.
So, Melina, you're right. We don't see him in any prominent places. We don't see him at the war council.
Nope.
We don't see him at the wedding.
Nope.
I mean, I'd have to kind of look through again, but right. I did not see. They would have shown him.
I'm theoretically. Pretty certain. Theoretically, yeah.
So, it's either he went into hiding and basically
he gave up everything.
The army was destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into just ran and hid.
Yeah.
Or
he was
killed. Or he was killed. And I think maybe just go with me here. People that die maybe go to these cells. Now it's a crazy theory, crazy idea.
Hmm.
But it's sort of like
purgatory of sorts.
Purgatory.
Hmm.
A place you go when you die on fairy tale land. And maybe that's where we will find Prince. What was the original?
The original Prince James?
Right.
His name was Prince James.
Right.
So David, the shepherd.
Yes.
But here's an interesting thought. Okay, so that's kind of an interesting theory. Maybe he is down there because there's a bunch of cells and we don't know who's in them.
Right, right.
And Regina's one of the only people who knows what's down there. So, yeah, there could be a number of people that are down there that she's keeping captive, including Balefire. That would be an interesting
thought.
Right. But what I'm wondering is, because we haven't seen it yet, because, again, in... What was the episode? Oh, my... The Snow White one.
What, Snow Falls?
No. Not this last one.
Heart of Darkness?
Thank you. Okay. It was like, I could not remember the name of the episode. In Heart of Darkness, we saw the ending where Snow and the Seven Dwarves were going to go kick some King George butt.
Right.
So I wonder if when she went to rescue him, she managed to turn his mind around.
Hmm.
King George.
Hmm.
And maybe
that's
he
interesting,
did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't see him in the wedding. You're right. I don't remember seeing him there, but that doesn't mean he wasn't there.
Okay.
We just haven't looked for him. We weren't looking for him there.
Right, right.
So that's just a theory. But yeah, King George, because if he died in Fairytale Land, I don't know how he could come into Storybrooke, because he would have been outside of the curse because death would have kept him outside of the curse.
Yeah.
So that's just...
There may have been another point in your voicemail, Melini. Sorry. It was a good one. We played
it. Was it great. Yeah, it was a great voicemail.
We're going to move on to the next voicemail.
Okay. Hi. Sorry I'm breaking my promise about never calling from the car again, but I just thought of something, and if I don't call now, I'll forget it. Actually, two things. Both Mr. Gold. First of all, how did Mr. Gold get out of jail? I can't remember. Maybe you guys can. Second of all, we know that Regina and Mr. Gold know who each other are. But do we know if he knows who everybody else is? And we know Regina knows who Snow White is. But so who knows of those two? Who knows? Do they know about the other characters in past lives or other realms? I don't know if we've discussed that yet or not. Let me know what you think. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
And we won't tell anyone that you broke your rule.
Okay, so we didn't see him getting out of jail.
Right.
But he did make the comment.
He did mention that he got the charges dropped.
Right.
And it was probably after he talked to Regina.
Yep.
And said, listen, I know that you can talk to the DA
mm-hmm.
and get these charges dropped because I don't want to be kept in a cage anymore.
Right.
Any longer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think.
And all he had to say to her was, could you make sure these charges are dropped, please?
Right. That was probably the worst. That was probably the worst deal she could have ever made with him.
Oh, dude. And
that was the worst.
The worst deal. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, much love to the evil Regals, but man.
But you know what?
Regina should not have made that deal.
Right, but let's go back to how Rumpelstiltskin became who he was.
Right.
He made a really sucky deal, too.
True.
And he didn't understand, and Zoso even said to him, you made a deal you didn't understand the terms of.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll never do that again, will you? And so that's where that comes into play.
So, Mr. Gold knows Prince Charming.
Yeah.
For sure, because he keeps calling him Charming.
Yes, he says her charming friend.
So I think that he knows who they are.
He knows everybody. I'm sure he knows who everybody is.
Now.
Because he's dealt with all of them.
This is my, and I'm ducking from things flying at me. I think Regina has selective knowledge of who things are, who people are, and that kind of a thing. Because I see Regina rushing up to a situation and saying, what's going on here? How come this is happening? Who's this? What's happening? And you would think that someone who has eyes and ears everywhere, you know, and that's another thing, is she relies on Sydney for information. I don't think she knows everything that Mr. Gold knows. And I think because she used magic.
Do you know what? Okay, here's where I'm going to go with you a little bit on that.
Okay.
Gold knows who everybody is because Rumpelstiltskin has had dealings with every single one of those people at some point in time in their life or another, right? Everybody. Right. He's dealt with all of them at some point in time or another. He knows who they all are.
So maybe it's the things they gave him?
Maybe.
Okay.
So, but he knows who everybody is. I'm sure he knows everything. He's not in the dark about anything. He's, again, the puppet master.
Right, right. Okay.
Secondly, Regina does know who certain people are.
Right.
But I don't think she knows who everybody is because she didn't deal with everyone. She didn't have dealings with some of these people.
Right.
So she knows who Prince Charming is. She knows who Snow is because she was there. She dealt with them.
Right.
She knows who... She may know who the War Council members are. Because she would know who they are, right?
She probably
possibly.
Doesn't know who Cinderella is, maybe. So
I kind of think she. Well, you never know because we don't know that she had any dealings with her. Well, so what I'm saying is, she didn't have any interaction with Cinderella, so she may not know who she is. She probably didn't have any dealings with Thomas. She didn't know who he was. She may not have had any with Ruby or Granny. Except for the fact that if she knew who the War Council members were, in which case she would know who Archie Hopper is.
Right.
So she may know selective people only because she had dealings with them, and that's the only reason why she would know them. But if she didn't deal with them in any way, shape, or form, she may not know who they are.
Okay.
So.
All right. Here we go. Last voicemail.
Okay.
Hey, guys. It's Dave from Michigan calling at the last minute. Because I rewatched the show in high def, and there was two visual things that I wanted to see if you guys noticed them or what you think they mean. First one is, in the beginning of the episode, when we see Snow talking to Regina, she has brownish hazel eyes. And in the last scene where we see them talking, she has brownish hazel eyes. But when we see them in the stable, her eyes are a bright green. I don't know if it's the lighting, but I'm wondering if she was maybe under some sort of influence from Cora, Regina's mother, because she knew all along this was going on. She just wanted somebody else to be the one to do it, to reveal it so that she wouldn't, so that Regina wouldn't take it out on her. The other thing I noticed is the moment, by the water, when they're walking down and August gets that pang or hurt or whatever it is, the moment he takes a step, a puff of white smoke or something or dust or something happens right by his feet and legs. And I'm wondering if that's his leg turning back into a piece of wood, because I've given up on Peter Pan. I'm with you now, Colleen. I think he's Pinocchio. And I'm wondering if he got too close to something that his shin was turning back into wood, and maybe that was sawdust or splinters that was coming off, if you look closely and see that. So, or maybe it was just, he stepped on a mushroom thingy that, you know, those puff balls you step on. But whatever. So can't wait to hear the show tomorrow, guys. Happy Easter. Bye.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
So much.
Okay, I didn't notice Regina's eye color. So I'd have to go back and look at that. But that is interesting. And if, in fact, it is a different eye color, it wouldn't surprise me. One of two things. One, she could be under some sort of spell from her mother because her mother is, you know, has that magical gift and wouldn't be surprised if she did kind of do it. Otherwise, I would consider that a continuity error and Regina's wearing contacts and or Lana's wearing contacts and shouldn't be or what have you. Because I believe Lana's eyes are dark brown. But anyway, that'd be my only other guess for that. I think it's an interesting theory.
Right. And I think it's a good spot of that because eye color is important. For instance, in Anakin in Star Wars, the more dark he became, his eyes changed color. And what other situation have we seen eyes color change?
Well, Ruby when she turns into the wolf.
So I mean we have seen that happen.
So that's a very real possibility. And that is a good pull because that's very subtle and a lot of people wouldn't recognize that. So
I did want to talk really quickly about the gorgeous wedding gown that Regina was wearing. Really, really great.
Okay. So. It was. It was absolutely stunning.
At least want to mention it because that's the one thing we did.
The costuming in this show overall is just stellar. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely amazing. I wish I was a seamstress because I would so make so many of these costumes because they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
I would go to like a con and I would dress if I had the figure for some of these girls. And then also, if I had the talent to make some of the clothing, I would so do it in a heartbeat.
Well, I do want to quickly say this, is if you're a cosplayer, that you do have costumes that deal with Once Upon a Time, send me a Flickr URL, send me a webpage URL, send me links to where your photos are. We'll feature them on the site okay. I would even be open to an interview with you to kind of discuss just cosplay in general because I think it's a really a valid and cool part of fandom.
It is.
Anyhow, I just wanted definitely need to
and even if it's not Once Upon a Time, I'd like to see some because I think that's I'm always in awe of some of the talent that we've seen from our listeners.
Sure.
It's just mind blowing to me. Some of the things that I've seen that people have done, the quilting and the knitting and the, you know, displays and things like that. I mean, it's just the toys and things. It's amazing to me. And I'm always just, I always want to promote talent like that. 'Cause I think that is so important because, you know, it's amazing. It's a fantastic gift. And I think people should be recognized for it. The last part of his...
We're going long. I wanted to talk about one more thing, and then we'll talk about the puff of smoke, is I didn't realize... You know, it's one thing to say, well, Jeff, this is my first podcast I've ever listened to. Mm-hmm. This is the first podcast I've ever followed. Mm-hmm. This is the first podcast I've ever sent an email to. This is the first podcast I've ever called in and left a voicemail. Those are all fantastic. Absolutely incredible, cool. But this whole experience is new for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. The Twitter exchanges, the forum, the leaving the comments on the blog. And I forget that. I think that because it's an experience that I've had and I've seen for years that everyone has, and that's not the case. And so there are times when I have to remember that this whole thing is brand new to people. Some people just listen to the podcast. That's all they do. They go to the site. They haven't even subscribed yet. They go to the site, they click on the button, and they listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that, but that's what they know. And then they kind of stick their toe in, and maybe they subscribe, and then they get it delivered to iTunes or their whatever. And then they move up to the next level. They check out the website. They check out the blog. They leave a comment or two. We have some fantastic comments all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't even start to name the cool folks that are there leaving great comments. There's so many of them. And then they get on Twitter and then they start following. And then there's this cool community of people that's growing all the time. And you'll see somebody new and then you'll see people talking. And then sometimes at late at night, you'll see them just talking, just, you know, getting theories out. It's just the most incredible thing. Then the forum, the same thing. But this whole thing that we've just talked about is brand new to people. Mm-hmm. I forget that.
Well, yeah.
So if you're in any of these stages and you're kind of leery, maybe you're just a podcast listener. Maybe you just kind of stop at the site when, you know, you think a new one's come out and you play it. First of all, I want to thank you for doing that. But the second thing is if you're kind of leery about taking the next step of maybe getting on Twitter, I'll bet you there's some people that have never been on Twitter until this show,
mm-hmm.
until this podcast. When you said,
I know for a fact one person at least has said that to us.
Yep.
She literally had no Twitter account before this.
Yep.
She got on and now she's on it all the time.
Mm-hmm. So if you're leery, I just want you to know that there's a lot of people that are leery like you
mm-hmm.
and that have kind of taken the next step in. I'm not pushing, but I'm just saying that people have kind of done it. And it's a really great community to be involved in on all sides of it. So I had an aha moment, as Oprah liked to say, mm-hmm. this week with that. So, okay, the puff of smoke. That August stepped something. I smoke again.
I know you love smoke. I think it's hilarious.
And I don't smoke.
No, you
but
don't.
We're talking but about we're talking smoke. About
yes.
I didn't see it. I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch that again too because I didn't see that either. But I do know that both times I've seen the episode, the fact that he made a comment about, you know, shin splints, that was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And of course, typically splints are made of wood.
Right.
So that was another very telling thing. And yay, he's on board with the theory. Yay. I love it.
Just everyone, you know, and that's what's nice. The name Fan Podcast
mm-hmm.
means that we have room for every fan of the show.
Sure.
And I know there's some people that agree with me, you, anybody, mm-hmm. and some people that don't.
Right.
And the nice thing is we can all kind of hang out.
Yep.
And, you know, some people have trouble. And some people still are hanging on to Peter Pan. Hang on to Peter Pan. That's cool. We're going to see how this whole thing plays
exactly.
out. It's fun to theorize. It's fun to watch and put it together in your mind. And let's just have fun, you know. I'm not here to change anybody's mind, but Dave mentioned that he changed mm-hmm. his mind. So,
anyway. And that's great.
All right. That's it.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I thought there was one more thing we were going to talk about.
I don't recall.
I was going to talk about something actually real quick.
Okay.
Is if you're still with us, because I know this is a long one.
Yeah.
If you're still with us, you know, we were just talking about the whole Twitter and the whole, you know, forum and et cetera, et cetera. We've said this before, but I'm just kind of giving the heads up again, is that if I'm not on Twitter, if I'm not responding to you, it's not because I don't care. It's because I'm really, really, really busy at work. And so it's tough for me to get back and respond, and I just want to make sure people realize that we're not ignoring you at all. I try my best to, you know, respond later in the evening. If I see that other people have already responded, then I typically pick one post or what have you, and I'll respond to that one. And it's a general for everybody. I'm not playing favorites. I honestly am not. I just don't want anybody to think that, you know, that I don't care. Because again, I've got some stuff going on at work that's just going to make me busier and busier over the next couple months. So I'm just letting you know, if I don't respond right away, promise I still love y'all. I get busy. So.
Yep.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
So I want to send big love out to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hang in there. I know for some it's been a tough week. I mean, I watch mm-hmm. Twitter. Yeah. And there's some really tough things going on in people's lives and homes and jobs and money and family and sickness, all kinds of different things. So, you know, we'll send some prayers out for you if you accept that. We'll send some good thoughts if you accept that.
Right.
We'll send some good vibes if you accept that. But, you know, we're all in this together. And so hang in there. Mm-hmm. And we will be talking at you Saturday. We're going to have a lot of fun. Saturday is really becoming just this fun time to get together.
Yeah.
And we're going to get together around Ustream. So we hope that'll be fun.
Yes.
So anyway, take care, guys. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
See you.